This afternoon, if you'll turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 5 and 6. And I want to speak to you this afternoon about God's work in relation to our sowing. That is, you and I are sowing seed. We are sowing the seed of the Word with people around us. We are sowing seed in righteousness and truth. And we will reap if we faint not. And yet sometimes it seems like we will faint unless the Lord helps us. So I pray that this message will be an encouragement to you all in that regard of sowing in God's good work. Let's bow together for prayer. Thank you, Father, for this little band of believers gathered here to uphold your worship this afternoon. We do pray for our church that you would cause us to understand the beauty of the second service and that more would attend yet. But we thank you for those who are here. And so we pray that you will bless us, each and every one, that you will help us to grasp the significance of the truth given to us in these verses, that we would be those who are sowing our seed and looking for the harvest which you will bring. We pray that you will anoint my lips so that I'll be edifying to your people in the preaching of your word, that we would be able to gather together the good things that you have for us here in Jesus' name. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning in verse 4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap, as you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God, who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. So as we think here about what Solomon would have us to learn from these verses, we find him giving us a warning in verse 4 against making excuses for not spreading the truth of God's word, not doing good works while we have time to do so now. He says if we observe the wind, that is, if we focus on all the things which will prevent our doing good works now, we will neither sow nor reap. That would not be a good thing. Then we're told here in verses 5 and 6 that there are three things which we do not know or understand too well. First of all, we do not understand the way of the wind. Second, we don't know how God makes bones to form in the mother's womb. Third, we do not understand how God brings spiritual prosperity. Well, even though that's true that we don't understand these things, still I want you to see that they ought to be an incentive to us to continue on faithfully, sowing the seed, doing good works, sharing the truth of the Bible. Even so, may the Lord give us help by means of this message to be constant in faithfulness, persevering in His work in our generation. First of all, you do not understand His work in the wind, verse 5a, as you do not know what is the way of the wind. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. So we're told here that there are many things that we do not know about God's working in regards to the things which He makes and the things that He does in the physical creation. The two mentioned are the way of the wind and the formation of bones in the mother's womb. Both are very mysterious to us. We should be able to easily conclude this, that the work of God in both formation of a baby in the womb and God's formation of the new creature or the new man in the regeneration of a man in his new birth is something that we do not understand. Nevertheless, it's something that we ought to use as a motivation for our continuing to trust in Christ and our labors for Him. First of all, we don't know the way of the wind. Think about what God says to Job in chapter 38, verse 24 of that book. By what way is light diffused, by the way, this is God speaking, or the east wind scattered over the earth. Really, we do not know how God does this, do we? And here Job needed desperately to understand that God was infinitely wiser than he was in all that he had permitted Satan to do to him, in all that he had ordained concerning Job's losses. And one of the ways that God proved this to him was by Job's understanding that he could not understand God's ways in the wind. By the way, Job was being spoken to there by God out of the whirlwind. It says there in chapter 38. He answered him out of the whirlwind, and he said, "Who is this who darkens counsel without knowledge?" And if this is the way that it was with Job, then, my brethren, it appears that we have much to learn about the way of the wind and God's ways. So let's turn over to Exodus chapter 14. And I want to show you how God used his wind to deliver his Old Testament people. Here in this chapter, the children of Israel have left Egypt after God sent 10 successive plagues upon the Egyptians. And really, it was quite an amazing thing that God was going to do, but the children of Israel didn't understand it yet. Pharaoh was finally willing to let the people go, but he was not really happy with himself a little bit later that he had let them go. He thought better of his having let them go, and then he made plans to go after them. It says in Exodus 14:5, just before that, the Lord said to Moses in verses 2-4, he says here that speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi Hiroth between Migdol and the sea opposite Baal Zephon, and you shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. They chased Israel all the way to the Red Sea. They were now backed right up to the sea. But I want to show you now how God used his mighty wind in this situation to defeat his enemies and deliver his people. Pharaoh and his armies pursued Israel, and this is what God did, verses 13 to 22. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud in darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near to the other all that night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Wow, it's an incredible thing, isn't it? All of these amazing verses about what the Lord was intending to do for them. So Moses has stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind, east wind all that night, made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went through the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now, I've read all of this to you to show you just how sovereign the Lord is over the way of the wind. He caused that wind to blow all night, and it drove the sea up on both sides, walls that were how high? 25, 50 feet high? Must have been quite the sight. Quite the impressive sight that morning when these things came to pass. And they passed through on the dry land, and he had perfect control of it to cause it to cease at just the right time, and the waters returned to their normal depth, and all the Egyptian army drowned in God's judgment upon them. Now, in applying this to ourselves as believers, we need to understand and believe that God knows exactly the way of the wind. I mean, whether it's the derecho storm we had a year ago or whether it's this wind that he brought upon the Red Sea. I mean, really, when you stop to think about it, it's an extraordinary thing that God has perfect control, exactly knows the way of the wind, and therefore we ought to trust him in impossible situations, that he's going to work all things together for good to us who love him. The same providence that God uses to destroy his enemies, he uses to work for your good. And therefore, you ought to go ahead and do the work that he's called you to do, even if you're threatened. Your greatest work is going to be found in trusting in the Lord. Do you realize that? Now, many of us don't realize that. But really, our greatest work is to trust the Lord even when things are impossible and we're backed up against the sea and we don't know where we're going to go and we think we're going to die. But with the Lord, nothing is impossible. Even if God is bringing strong winds of judgment upon other people and showing them his justice, yet he will be gentle with you, dear believer. He will be for you, even if you have many earthly enemies. That's really true. It's true that you do not know the works of God, but you will be upheld by your faith. And you won't be shaken when you're trusting in the Lord. So God's not only sovereign in use of the physical winds, but he's also sovereign whom he gives a new heart to and saves them from their sins. Very famous verse here. If you want to turn over there with me to John chapter 3. And verse 3, where it says here, Jesus answered Nicodemus and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you that unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again, for the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now, the word for spirit here is pneuma, and the Hebrew word for wind in our text that we're studying here this afternoon, the same kind of word which can be translated either wind or spirit. You do not know the way of the wind, or you do not know the way of the Spirit, or how bones are formed in the womb of her who is with child. How can we apply this then? Well, we should know that God is very mysterious in his working. Now, sometimes I think that we just think that we know God's working. We do not. We do not understand the mysterious working of God, and especially with regard to the new birth in the heart of a person who will become a Christian. How does the direction of a person's heart change so that they will not be against Christ and even desire Christ for themselves. It's by the Lord's great power, His blowing on them with His wind in their heart. That's the extraordinary thing about it. He convinces that person of sin and righteousness and judgment, and the Spirit blows upon the sinner's heart in such a way that their enmity, their hostility is taken away. And there's a way made for the seed of righteousness to be planted in their heart. A new life is created where before was only darkness and deadness due to sin. God raises them from their spiritual death and trespasses and sins, makes them alive by the Spirit of God. And we do not understand the working of God or how He brings it about. That is His purposes in salvation. Those whom you've spoken to before, who have rejected the truth many times when you have presented it to them, but it only takes the wind coming to change everything in regard to them. You may have spoken to them many times before. They may have rejected it many times when you presented it to them. But the wind can come sailing into their heart and all is changed. So I'm saying, don't give up praying for them. Keep sowing the seed and keep giving a serving to 7 or 8. Do your good works and show forth Christ, the fact that Christ is in your life. Second, you do not understand God's work of making bones to form in a mother's womb, verse 5b, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the work of God who makes everything. So once again, we find that in conception and gestation of the child, that God's work is very mysterious. It's very powerful. Now look over with me at Psalm 139 and verses 13 and 14. It says here, For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Well, how does God grow the bones of the little one in the womb? You do not know. But God knows, and it is His well-kept secret. He does His marvelous work very slowly, very definitely, very gradually. These little bones form in the mother's womb, the little child's body. Its little bones are forming there. Now, that's meant to be an illustration of spiritual truth to us. Even as God does His physical work of forming bones, even so He does His mighty work of grace in bestowing His free gift of salvation, that God forms faith in the heart of the sinner whom He causes to become interested in the gospel of Christ. Oh yes, faith is formed. It cannot be exercised before it is formed. It must be formed in the heart before it can be exercised. So God sends His Spirit to savingly work in relation to the gospel, which is shared or preached. Your part is to tell people the gospel, their need of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, how then will we become holy? Will it be by our own self-efforts? Well, certainly we do have to exert ourselves, don't we? I want you to think with me about Philippians chapter 2. in verses 12 and 13, where the apostle says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Oh, how we need to believe that everyone who is saved by the mighty working of God in relation to the hearing of the Word of God. And we need to understand that we become holy by the mighty working of God very gradually over time by God's powerful working to change our minds about what we truly want to do and to pursue in life. He works in our hearts to turn us away from selfishness, away from worldliness, and towards spiritual truths and realities in our hearts, and in doing our good in relation to others around us. Now that's what the Lord does. He turns our attention to other things besides ourselves. He turns our attention to the needs of other people around us. And then He works powerfully. And He works definitely, but He works almost imperceptibly over time. Just like the formation of the bones in the womb of the mother, the bones of the little child. Third, we do not understand how God brings spiritual prosperity. Verse 6, "In the morning sow your seed, and in the evening do not withhold your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good." In other words, the sovereignty of God is a great motivation to evangelism and good works. Oh, I hope you see this. The truths that we're studying here should give us great hope in regard to the salvation of people around us and in our own becoming holy, which is the goal of much of our labor as a Christian, by the way. We do not see how it is possible that certain people can be saved or how we ourselves can become holy. But with God, nothing is impossible. And He does this work very slowly, very definitely, almost imperceptibly, but according to His purpose, which is not thwarted. And I want you to turn with me over to Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says here, the Apostle Paul was afraid that those who he had preached the gospel to might be going back to Judaism. Once again, and he says to them in verse 16, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, these false apostles, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you." Notice the words, "until Christ is formed in you." He was laboring in birth until Christ was formed in them. So his greatest desire was to see Christ formed in each one who he had preached to, who said that they had believed the gospel. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about professed believers or true believers. He travailed in birth for them. But he knew that God had to give them life. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. "Who then is Paul? And who then is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." So his working, I'm saying, is very mysterious, but it is very definite in the case of His elect people. And even though we may see it as being very uncertain, yet it is not. And Paul would labor over them as a mother trying to bring forth children, but he knew that God alone could give them the right understanding of grace. And God is sovereign over the results, all the results of our preaching, all the results of our sharing of the gospel, all of our sowing of seed, and all of our doing good works. And that's the reason that we ought to continue in it both morning and evening, because we do not know which will succeed or both alike. It was the sound of a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost that saved 3,000 people with one sermon. We ought to remember that. That was the beginning of the church, the New Testament church. And the Holy Spirit came as a mighty rushing wind and filled that whole place and anointed the apostles, and they preached like they had never preached before. And the Lord can do that even in our day as well. Well, how does this relate to our text in Ecclesiastes? I'm saying we shouldn't hesitate to sow our seed in the morning and evening, not withhold our hand, for we do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. And I'm saying to you, labor on, spend and be spent, for if you will reap. You're going to reap someday. You will reap if you faint not. Galatians 6, verses 7 to 10 say, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint or lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage that we're studying in Ecclesiastes. Thank you for all of these passages which show us just how sovereign you are in salvation. And so therefore we ought to sow and in the morning and the evening at all times, and realize that you are well able to cause us to reap a great harvest at any time. But there are many things that you work out in the process and in time in regard to our own Christian character, in regard to our love to people around us, in regard to our faithfulness in our service to you, which you know need to be worked out before you grant us that harvest, or as you're granting it to us. And so we pray that we would be cognizant of that, dear Lord, that we would not lose heart, but that we would persevere in sowing the seed, and also look to ourselves, that we will not sow to our flesh, but that we will sow to the Spirit. For we pray and ask these things in your dear name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let's close by singing hymn number 514 together. Now Israel may say, and that in truth, that unless the Lord was on our side, it would have all been vain. And surely that is so, but the Lord is on our side, and so it will not be vain. Let's stand and sing this good hymn together. Now Israel may say, and in truth, if that the Lord had not our right maintained, if that the Lord had not with us remained, when cruel men against us rose to strife, we surely have been swallowed up alive. Yea, when there against us fiercely rose. The swelling tide o'er us spread its wave. The raging stream hath then become our grave. The in proudly swelling roll, most surely hath overwhelmed our soul. Blessed be the Lord who made us not their prey. As from the snare a bird escapeth free, their net is rent, and so escaped are we. Our only help is in Jehovah's name, who made the earth and all the heavenly frame. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. And may the Lord go with you.